Welcome to iDeveloper Live, episode 24. And once again, I'm afraid we're not live, but that's because we can't seem to quite get the quality of live production we want, and it's messing around with the content of the shows. And so we've set to work on making it work properly and really behind the scenes. We've got people working on our server, trying to set up a streaming solution and making some changes in the office. So hopefully by episode 25, or if not 25, episode 26, we'll go back to live and we'll get the content going again. But I'm sure the show will be brilliant anyway, and if you'd all been here, you'd have enjoyed it. John, hello, are you there?
I am here, and I just would like to point out that just because we're not live doesn't mean we're not lively.
No, well, actually, we are live because I'm breathing, and hopefully you're breathing. But yeah, so the whole point is, and we're not going to do this show in a sort of edited sort of, we're going to film one scene here and one scene there way. It's just we have no audience. There we are. But it might be true of the recorded version as well, actually. we won't go there for now. We will.
What is the sound of a podcast being unsubscribed?
Yes, there we are. And that raucous laughter you heard in the background was from our very special guest today, Mr. Mike Lee. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Scotty. How are you doing?
I am doing really well. It's great to have you on. And it's been a while since you've been on a show, and it's lovely to hear your voice in my ears again.
boy.
John, typical. Last week on the show, we were talking about how Apple had raised expectations last year with their WWDC video output being in, I think, about 10 days. And that created an expectation. And now everybody was bitching and moaning that it had not come out. And we did a great segment on that. And it was fantastic. And it was brilliant. But then, of course, you know, before we could get the show edited and out, they released WWDC videos.
Well, that just shows what power we wield. Surely someone in the AV club at Apple was listening to this thing. It's like, uh-oh, they're talking about it. We better hurry up and get this thing done. But they did a brilliant job. I think that the organization of the videos and how smoothly they play back is the best. They keep getting better. Just, so.
I'm wondering if they did them in Final Cut 10. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on out there about how, you know, the whole iMovie 8, was it iMovie 7 to 8 or iMovie 8 to 9? I can't remember which way around it was. Argument when they've the total rewrite and what's missing and should they get rid of it is going on with Final Cuts. But there we are. That's not our realm. We'll let all those editor people argue about that. Have you downloaded all the videos?
I haven't downloaded them all. That's what's the point. It's like, yeah, I guess it would be nice if I was going off a place where there's no connectivity and to watch them. But I've just enjoyed watching them off of the website. The quality is great. It's very easy to find them. And you can pick up and pick up where you were. It just works great. In fact, I was watching one of the segments on updates to HTTP live streaming, so I suspect that they're taking advantage of all the things that they were talking about.
Now, Mike, you didn't make it out to WWDC this year, and we missed you thoroughly. Have you been catching up? If the video has been something you've had a chance to catch up on?
Well, the truth be told, I mean, I didn't get to go to DubDub this year because I was so busy with Amsterdam stuff, and I've been so busy with Amsterdam stuff that I haven't even had a chance to watch the videos.
But that's okay. Well, that's what we're here to talk about this week. So we'll find out what Mike's excuse is for not coming to DubDub and not watching the videos. Paltry excuse that it must surely be.
Truly, it's pathetic, and I'm ashamed of myself. But some good did come out of it. I mean, it's we did manage to get our own Steve Scotty Scott out there. So.
I will go on record and saying that Scotty's not as handsome as Mike Lee.
I would never have tried to dispute that for a moment.
I'm not even going to get involved with this conversation.
No, they weren't running up to me and screaming how gorgeous I was, just like they do with you, Mike. Anyway, moving on. Last week we did a really serious segment. In fact, I was in a coffee shop with a couple of people today, and they were just sort of saying they were quite depressed after it, actually, on WidgetPress and the lawsuit that's against them based on a patent or patent, depending on which part of the world you're from, against them. And so, John, it'd be good maybe to do a bit of follow-up on that. And I know as we record this, that show's only been out there for about 3 or 4 days, but I think it's still good to do some follow-up.
Yeah, so actually was talking with Jonathan this morning and asking how things went and to see whether people had actually followed up. So in case you haven't listened to this episode that we're talking about, episode 23, you should be going to widgetpress.com/defense so you can read the details of the patent lawsuit that he's facing. And in there, you have the opportunity to show some solidarity with a fellow indie dev, because the plain fact of the matter is that with patents as they stand now and the ease with which they can be litigated, it is truly there, but for the grace of God, go me, you, everyone else there that's an indie developer. And so what we had asked is to that anybody who listens to this podcast to go to that site and donate. So, you know, five people have donated, so it's added $575 to his defense fund, which amounts to basically 1 hour of
IP lawyer time.
IP lawyer time plus $75 to buy vodka so you can you know, not be completely suicidal about the whole thing. But, you know, he just tweeted that there's about a 90% chance that within 15 days, he's shutting down, that he will not be able to sell his products anymore. This blows. Can I say it again? This blows. This is unacceptable. And, you know, you have to have the attitude that it's similar to the end of the movie X, the Malcolm X movie that Spike Lee did, where there's a whole montage of kids going, I am Malcolm X, I am Malcolm X. Well, you have to think, I am Widget Press, I am Widget, I am Jonathan Freeman. This could happen to any one of us. And I'm still kind of depressed and angry about it. And I have to hope and believe that somehow something good is going to come out of this.
Yeah, I mean, just in case you don't know Jonathan's story, because he didn't really want to talk much about himself last week. You know, here is a guy who to me is, you know, this he's what indie is about. He was a web developer. He was doing PHP stuff. He fell in love with his Mac, and he just shut down. He stopped doing his web products. He stopped, and he took a year and he developed his product from scratch. He set himself the target. He'd been at Macworld and said, by next Macworld, I'm going to be here with my own product. He spent a year, he learned Cocoa, he learned Objective-C, he learned Xcode, he learned how to develop, he produced a decent product, in fact, a great product, got himself to Macworld, did it. I mean, this is the guy who just sort of said, I'm going to throw myself at indie life, I'm going to do this. And then since then, that was about 2009, he got several products, actually had begun to employ other indies to do subcontract work for him, you know, and was growing. He's one of the nicest guys you will ever meet, and now because of some bunch of people who think that they've got some right about actually, you know, this most generic piece of crap painting in the world, as far as I'm concerned, you know, he's there saying, you know, that 3 years, that life I made, I'm gonna have to give it up. You know, to me, yeah, that's just, it's wrong. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care whether, you know, the US is a democracy and the legal system's there. The US, your patent laws, you are wrong. It's crap. Get rid of it. Now.
And it's absolutely,
I'll make myself clear.
It's terrifying. I mean, you know, you say people are depressed. You shouldn't be depressed. You should be terrified, because this could happen to you. I was a web developer who was doing stuff in PHP, fell in love with my Mac and quit to do my own thing. I mean, that describes a whole bunch of us. And in a more abstract sense, it describes all of us. I mean, we really are all widget press. We really are all targets here. And that's what's been so terrifying about this stuff, so terrifying about the Lodestar stuff, is that, you know, no longer is it big companies rattling their sabers at each other. This is us. They're coming after us as individuals. And, you know, the time for us to be bickering about things like who's a bigger jerk at the parties at WWDC, that's a luxury we no longer have. We, you know, the most disappointing thing to me was when some Android guys, and I don't mean this as a slight against Android at all, but when some Android guys were saying, you know, haha Apple, right? Like, it's not haha Apple, because they're coming for you next, and they did. And you know, now at least Apple has jumped into the fray, as we had hoped that they would, and you know, hopefully Google will do the same thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to start putting us out of business. They're going to kill indie software development, at least in the United States. I mean, you know, worst come to worst, we just stop selling our products there, and you know, they can deal with that.
Well, there's two things I wanted to say quickly. One is that, you know, so people need to realize that they're not, well, it depends on the patent, but they're in the case of MacroSolve, they're not coming after indies because they think, oh, you know, in aggregate, here's a nice little business model. They're just doing it so they can have legal precedent. They are basically changing their tack. It's been, I guess, coming for a number of years, where all they have to do is to get one little win one case, then they have precedent and they can go after the big ones. So, you know, that's one thing. The second thing is, it's not clear to me that, you know, being a citizen of a foreign country or having your company established in a foreign country ultimately gives you protection. If you can be sued in the United States, for, you know, they can find some way of suing you if they want, even if you were a Dutch developer. Is that not the case?
Yes, that is absolutely the case. But here's the thing. Like, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to try you in The Hague. The UN isn't going to come after you. Interpol's not going to come arrest you. You're just basically not going to be able to do business in the United States anymore. And that's what I'm talking about.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's not a question of where you live. It's a question of where you sell your products. And if selling your products in the United States is just opening you up to naked aggression from patent trolls, then the market's not really worth it. I mean, there are plenty of other people in the world who are willing to buy good software.
Sure, but if you're selling it through Apple's app stores, which are based in the United States, and that's the only channel that you can do it, it does effectively shut you down, doesn't it?
I don't know. That's a detail that we would have to look at, but I would be very surprised if, say, a German developer who's selling their stuff only in the European Apple stores, app stores, is going to end up getting shut down because someone in the U.S. has a problem with something that's not even available in the U.S. So I don't know. It seems pretty abstract. It's certainly possible. I just make the point that, I mean, there are a few things that the U.S. is doing that is really just, you know, is going to end up taking the country down. And I think that this is one of them. I mean, this sort of nonsense is just a tax on innovation. And it just makes, you know, it just makes innovators don't want to deal with this stuff. And so they're just going to not want to deal with the U.S. And you know, combined with every other thing that the U.S. is doing, you know, it's just going to become an irrelevant part of the industry. I mean, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about 10, 20 years. But eventually, it's just going to be like a third world country for software, and you're just not going to want to deal with it.
Yeah, can I share a brief fun story about this relating to healthcare and why that makes me fed up? I mean, I am kind of one of the lucky ones in that I managed to get my own group insurance for three people, and it's you know, for the luxurious $1,200 a month that I pay for it, you know, provides by the crappy standards of the United States pretty decent coverage. But since I'm going to be out of the country for a month and I'd like to be able to pay my bill online, I said, oh, okay, let me go to their website, sign up, so and get the group administrator password so I can have the right to be able to pay this on the web. And after I'm done doing it, I get an email, a PDF file saying, please print this out, write down the password that you used when signing up the form, fax that back to us, wait 24 to 48 hours, and then maybe we'll give you the right to be able to pay your bill online, which would kind of be useful because if you tried to pay your premiums by check in mail, invariably, like happened to me this month, it just disappears and you run the risk of having your insurance canceled, which once happens in the United States, you're in a pretty bad shape. So, which leads me to this question. It's like, if I love the craft of building apps and I'm fed up with all the BS that's involved with trying to do it in the United States, where might I go in the world?
Oh, nice segue, John. Why do I even need to be here? Mike, that's his question for him.
Well, you know, John, it's interesting that you asked that question because I found myself asking that same question a year ago, and the frustration that you're talking about with the ridiculous paperwork and hoops that they make you jump through, this is what happened to me when I left Apple. You know, I thought, great, you know, I have COBRA benefits for a year, and I can pretend to be a corporate person who deserves real health insurance that'll actually work if they get sick. This will be fantastic. And invariably, you know, they were supposed to send me something that they said that they sent me that somehow mysteriously disappeared in the mail. And when I called them up, they said, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. You missed some arbitrary deadline and therefore you're screwed. And there was just no option at that point. And then, of course, we had the whole healthcare debate. And I was like, okay, well, maybe they'll, you know, pass a sane law, which states that, A, people have a fundamental right to health insurance if it's the only way that they can get treated by a doctor. And B, if you have health insurance, that you have a fundamental right for it to actually damn work. But no, that didn't happen. And it didn't happen because of another big problem in the States, which is this ludicrous rift that's created by, you know, without trying to get too political, created by the Republican Party. You know, they want to keep people ignorant. They want people to vote against themselves. They fire them up with a bunch of religious nonsense. And next thing you know, people are arguing that no, we don't deserve healthcare. And it's the strangest thing in the world. And so I found myself asking the same question. And I found myself reading a lot of blogs by a lot of people who were running into problems when they were traveling and other, you know, side effects of being an American. And I thought, you know, I really just need to look at things in terms of if I was a consumer, right, not as a patriot, not as somebody who was born in a certain place and has connections to a certain place. If I'm a consumer and I'm looking at what place gives me the best quality of life for, you know, a reasonable cost of living, where would I actually live? And, you know, I had a lot of speaking engagements and stuff coming up. So I put together this year-long tour. I called it my Erdős year after the Hungarian mathematician who was itinerant and just traveled around and stayed with colleagues and collaborated on papers. So I took a year to do that. And I spoke at conferences and I stayed with colleagues and just traveled the whole world and all kinds of places. You know, like I went to Ushuaia, the southernmost city in the world, you know, Chicago and Boston and, you know, went over to Europe, went to Asia, went to Cambodia. I mean, I really just, you know, got a very nice cross section of things. And I did just a lot of thinking and combined that with a lot of the travel that I had done when I was an airline employee. And I just kind of, you know, realized that when you're talking about living in a place, you're talking about this big series of compromises. And when I did that math, I found that for me, it was Amsterdam in the Netherlands. I you know, just completely fell in love with Amsterdam. And I just find it to be this perfect compromise, this perfect middle. You know, like Paris has amazing food. The buildings in Paris are beautiful. If nothing else was a factor other than just the quality of life and the city and the beauty of the place, I would live in Paris. But the reality is that I speak English. And because I speak English, there's no room in my head for other languages. And so, you know, visiting Paris is fine. You know, you can trick the French into speaking English to you if you at least show some respect and make an effort to speak their language. But living there, boy, like reading David Sedaris's trials, living in France without speaking French and trying to learn the language, it seems like if I lived in France, all I would be doing was trying to learn the language, you know. So then I think, well, great, where do they speak English? Well, they speak English in England, obviously. Boy, England, you know, God bless you, Scotty, but your country is incredibly expensive. It's so expensive. I mean, London has to be the most expensive city in the Western world. You know, I'm sure that Dubai and Tokyo are probably more expensive, but as far as like, you know, English-speaking type countries, boy, London is so expensive, and I love it. It's beautiful. I love the culture there. The food, the Indian food is really good. The Chinese food is not bad, but yeah, it's just so expensive. And you know, after doing all of these sorts of equations, and really not intending to bring anybody down. I mean, I love every place. I could tell you what I loved about Cambodia. I could tell you what I loved about Ushuaia, but. I just decided that Amsterdam was like right in the middle, and not just in the middle in terms of culture and stuff like that, but in the middle in terms of where it's actually located. Like it literally is in the middle of Europe. And so one of the nice things about Amsterdam and the Netherlands in general is that you can leave. You can leave and you can go to Paris for the weekend. If the weather gets you down, you can go down to the Mediterranean. If you want to eat some really good Spanish food, you can go to Spain. You know, you can go anywhere from here. And Schiphol, the airport here, it has direct flights to like just everywhere in the world. So it's so convenient to get here. And it's really, I thought it would really be the greatest place to start a hub, you know, to start a capital for the world of apps. And, you know, thanks to my lifelong love of puns, we settled on the name Amsterdam. And so that was the beginning of this. And the rumblings of this actually, you know, occurred very much over at NS Conference. You know, is when we really started talking about this and talking about what you know, what a developer's paradise would be like. And you know, talking about how we would actually build the thing, you know, over a lot of good real ale at his conference. And you know, then I settled here. And at first, I was working with Sofa, you know, to kind of get things kicked off. And they, you know, put together a website for us and a lot of encouragement for actually getting the thing done and introduced us to a lot of people and made our super awesome logo. And then, of course, they were acquired by Facebook, which is really awesome for them. Really awesome for everyone, I think, but meant that we had to kind of strike off on our own. But luckily, by that point, I mean, the growth of Amsterdam has been beyond my wildest expectations. And we already have, I think, about 60 people in our org, which means that we're now a large company. You know, I literally do not know the names of everybody who was doing stuff for Amsterdam. And it just happened that quickly because people are just so into the idea of making something here. Because so many people, you know, this narrative formed when I was traveling, talking to people, and because I was, you know, I myself was looking at moving, people were sort of confessing to me that they were also looking at moving. And so I started to think of this, you know, not in terms of what would be good for me, but what would be what would be good for everybody. And really thinking about, you know, the cultural aspects of it, you know, what we bring with us from Apple, you know, what we, you know, can learn from other great leaders, you know, what people have done well. I mean, you mentioned Malcolm X, for example, right? And there was that scene in Spike Lee's Malcolm X where this like young blonde headed woman comes up to Malcolm and you know talks how much she believes in what he says, she loves his movement, she completely is there, and you know, what can she do? And he tells her nothing. There's nothing you can do. And in the actual book, you know, he talks about how bad he felt about that later and how he realized that it was a tremendous mistake to have this attitude that you define yourself in a group and then you exclude everybody else. You know, Amsterdam has this reputation as a place of tolerance. I mean, tolerance and Amsterdam are, you know, you look Amsterdam up in the dictionary and that's the definition of it is tolerance. It's always been seen as kind of the world's most tolerant place. And people, especially the Dutch who love to complain, will complain about, it's not as good as it used to be. And, you know, it's not as tolerant in practice as it is in theory. And yeah, of course, every place has its ups and downs. You know, it's not perfect, definitely. But it is really nice. And there are a lot of really passionate developers here and all around Europe who realize that we do better when we're together, both in the physical sense of living near each other, and in the you know, in the more theoretical sense of just cooperating with each other, you know, because if we stand alone, if we stand apart, then we're easy pickings. And if we drive wedges between ourselves based on anything, just separating ourselves into anything but one unified group, then we're easy pickings, and we'll be just picked off one by one. You know, just like is happening to Widget Press, just like is happening to the Lodestar defendants, that's just going to happen. And you sound like you want to say something.
Yeah, no, I was just going to butt in there, and I don't want to disturb your flow because, I mean, I'm really enjoying listening to it. But I think, you know, maybe if I can just reflect back for a moment that, you know, I think when Amsterdam was first announced, I think a lot of people sort of genuinely thought, you know, this is something that's fun, you know, and it is, you know, but it's, you know, it's a developer drinking club, it's a developer holiday destination, it's a, you know, it's a developer, I'm just going to take a little time off and do this. But actually, this whole patent troll stuff coming up, not just Microsoft, but with the Lodestar stuff, and I'm sure we're going to see quite a few more, is actually, it's sort of made us focus, actually, yeah, we need to be united around something, part of something, together in something that actually is it's more than a club. It's about, you know, this is who we are. We are an entity. Don't mess with us. We're strong.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know, I refer to that phenomenon as a center of gravity, right? What we really need is a center of gravity for our industry because, you know, nobody talks about, you know, well, you know, individual movie makers this, individual movie makers that. They talk about Hollywood. You know, they're talking about, you know, Hollywood said this and Hollywood said that. That has power. And if you piss off Hollywood, then God help you. And it should be the same thing. If you piss off Amsterdam, then God help you. Because as a center of gravity, it means that we not only represent, you know, everybody, but it also means that we attract the people who want to help. And so there are, you know, there are a ton of lawyers out there who are actually good people, believe it or not, and who are experts at IP and who are disgusted by these patent trolls because the patent trolls are making us hate them, the lawyers who are actually good people and who actually try to protect people's IP in a way that makes sense. those guys are like, man, how can I help? I'd love to help developers, but developers doesn't have an address. Developers doesn't have a phone number. Developers doesn't have a face. And so with Amsterdam, we get that. And we're getting that. And we already have lawyers writing to us and saying, I love what you guys are doing. I want to be a part of it. You know, and our answer when people say, how can I help, is, well, what can you do? And whatever it is that they do, we figure out how to utilize it. And if they're a lawyer, well, then that's fantastic. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that Amsterdam is going to send out a lawyer tomorrow, but I am suggesting that any hope that we have of actually assembling any kind of legal team that represents the good of all developers, any chance that we have of actually putting together a legal defense fund that people can contribute to, any chance that we actually have of putting up any kind of concerted effort to actually smack these motherfuckers. Down is seated in Amsterdam.
So while I'm listening to this, and I want to go back to that phrase, you know, looking at the at various countries as if you're a consumer, because that's something that's been on my mind a lot. You know, being a dad and having a kid in public school, and what an incredible struggle it is to try and figure that out. In the same way that, you know, it makes health insurance look like a very simple matter to resolve. And so, you know, I because I enjoy traveling, my wife's Italian, blah, blah, blah. My mom spends half the year in London. My sister lives in Paris. I'm absolutely predisposed to Amsterdam. While you're saying these things, I'm thinking, you know, I enjoy my life in San Francisco. I love being here. I love showing people around when it's time for Dub Dub. I enjoy the idea of having a zip life, like a zip car, where I can spend time in different parts of the world, because there is no kind of physically perfect place. Well, there's no perfect place in any sense, but you can have a kind of more perfect setups. And I also like this phrase, center of gravity, because then you can say, all right, well, I belong to Amsterdam for this most important aspect of my life, you know, my career doing the things I love. And you can also say, well, I belong to this culture because I have that heritage, or to this place because I really enjoy it and have kind of emotional attachments to it. But all those different places aren't necessarily in one physical location. And it sure seems that we're on the cusp of being able to have these lives where you can exercise the different aspects of your life in different places at different times, and you kind of truly become a global citizen to the extent that that's possible. So I'm coming to Amsterdam, and I'm very happy to be doing so. And one of the first questions that I have is it possible to, you know, what are the specifics of it? If I decide that I want to do it, does that mean I have to kind of, you know, pack up my tent and move my company there or move myself there for a critical mass of time during the course of the year? Or kind of what are some of the formulas out there?
So, you know, you absolutely do not have to come here. I mean, you should once in your life, you know, in call it the Hajj, if you will.
Exactly.
I mean, you should definitely come see the place just because of what we're building here. And, you know, we have so much great stuff.
So wait, can we throw stones at a black cube representing patent lawyers and do it?
You know, I feel like the significant Muslim population might feel offended by that, but I think that they would appreciate the metaphor. But you know, for example, you talk about your family. You know, your family's awesome. I've met them. I know the family is really important to you. It's really important to a lot of developers, and it's really important to us, which is why we have things like our Amsterdam family weekends, right? We emphasize not just that we need to get together as nerds, you know, the whole drinking club idea, but also that we need to get together with our families. We need to involve them. We need to introduce them to each other so that they can support each other, so that we know each other better. I think it makes us better as a group. I mean, I think about all this hullabaloo that came out of WWDC, and I think to myself, if everyone there brought their partners, everyone's better half had been in attendance, then none of that stuff would have happened. Like, it just would have been impossible. Exactly. Cue dramatic music. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Continue.
So, you know, you come here with your family and you spend some time here. Maybe you spend 3 months here, which you can do without a visa every 6 months. So you could come here half time if you want to. And I think what you're just going to find is that you love it so much that you want to be here. You know, your families are going to love getting together with other families. You're going to love getting together with other developers. You're going to love getting involved and seeing, you know, all of the great stuff that we have planned. And I mean, the stuff that we have planned now is cool. And, you know, I have to tell you how cool it is because that's all part of the RDF. But if I had to tell you some of the stuff that we're working on, it would make the stuff we're doing now look terrible because the stuff that we're working on is going to blow people's hats off. I mean, it's you know, we have some amazing stuff in the pipeline. You're just going to want to live here. You know what I mean? You're going to come here and you're going to want to be here. But you don't have to, not by any stretch of the imagination. And we really want to make this explicitly clear that there is no, you know, there is no defined group that we're looking for. Really. We're self-defined. You know, if you live in the city or if the city lives in you, you can be part of this. And we have, you know, we make a distinction between an Amsterdammer, which is somebody who's, you know, who's here in the city, you know, and it applies somewhat generically because, like I said, you can be here in your heart. But if you're, say, looking to meet with somebody in person to get an app made, for example, you want to know that they're here in the city. But then Applanders, because, you know, the whole of the Netherlands really, much to their annoyance, is very much seen as a feature of Amsterdam. And then, of course, to the app broaders, to everybody everywhere. You know, and we really want to, you know, we want to include everybody, right? So we are going to, for example, have our weekly Wednesday lectures. And of course, you would love to come here every Wednesday and join us and eat sandwiches together and listen to somebody talk and watch these new speakers being made. But if you can't be here, then we're going to record the stuff. You can catch our podcast. You know what I mean? Like, you're still going to be able to get the knowledge. You're still going to be able to participate. You know, we're still going to be producing a lot of good stuff. We, you know, I think that we can, just by our existence, we can really shut down a lot of the enmity that has been infecting our industry for so long, you know, because I think it's time, for this meme to spread, that tolerance is our most important value, you know, that we need to stop, putting these barriers between ourselves based on, you know, well, I use this language or I prefer this platform or I think this manufacturer is better. You know, we're not Android developers and iOS developers and web developers, You are not even developers. We're app makers. All of us, no matter what role we're playing, whether we're a marketing role, a legal role, whether we're designers, whether we're engineers, we're all app makers. And we're all part of this economy. And we're all part of building this city, both as a physical place and as a concept.
So, Mike, you mentioned that you were off to meet some politicians later on this afternoon.
Yep.
What can you tell us about the official support you've had? This is something that's been very interesting to me. You know, I grew up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and there were some very smart and clever things that were done when they said, hey, we've got three research universities here. Let's create Research Triangle Park. And that actually happened before Silicon Valley and before Route 128, and it was very forward-thinking. It was very clever. And so I was reading in one of the blogs that you were saying that the university there was trying to do something similar to Stanford's computer science department. The city is trying to do. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of what official Amsterdam and official Netherlands has been doing for Amsterdam?
Well, I mean, understand that, you know, I made this analogy in this metaphor that which I wrapped in an enigma and then deep fried in a sea of puzzle. I wrote this blog entry and I made this metaphor with the folk tale of stone soup, you know, everybody pitching some stuff in to make something great for all of us. I sort of think of everybody the same way, you know, the government, politicians, university, corporations, rather than trying to make these kinds of distinctions. Because, you know, for example, you can get some very indirect support from the government sometimes. You know what I mean? You can get very explicit support, you know, you get a grant or something like that. But there are all manner of ways, you know, like the government has the Open Data Initiative. The Open Data Initiative supports the Vach Society. The Vach Society supports Amsterdam. And there it goes, right? But more to the point is that such is my faith in Amsterdam that I didn't take my idea and go to the VCs. I didn't take my idea and go to the government. I didn't take my idea and go to the university and say, this is what I want to do, and if you'll only give me support, then I'll do this. I just did it. I just got developers together. I just asked who wanted to help out. I just utilized volunteers, and I built this organization. This organization of 60 people, none of whom get paid, who just do this because they want to see this thing built and are really happy with the results that they're putting together and the pride that they feel for being a part of it. Anyone from the government, anyone from the university, anyone who wants to be on the right side of history basically is clamoring, in my email box right now. I can't get my email below 30 because every time I answer something, it seems to spring up two more responses. I mean, everybody wants to get in on this. Everybody wants to be a part of this. Everybody supports this. This is something that is great, obviously, for us, for developers. But this is something that's great for Amsterdam and great for the Netherlands. It's something that's great for Europe. I mean, why wouldn't you want this? Why wouldn't you want this grassroots organization promoting your city, your country, your continent? Why wouldn't you want that? Obviously. So at this point, you know, we have some really awesome stuff that definitely requires government support that I see coming together. And I would love to tell you about it privately, but it would be a breach of faith for me to talk about that stuff publicly yet. But I will say, stay tuned. I am expecting quite a bit of support.
So two more things that pop into mind. I've noticed that you're getting your down. So you said everybody speaks English, but I know that you have an appreciation for the Dutch culture there. And I'm guessing that you're learning a little bit of Dutch. Are you using it, you know, learning clever phrases and stuff like that? Or are you making a concerted effort to do it or what?
Well, you know, I mean, the thing about Dutch, right, is that the Dutch speak better English than the English as an entire population. And, you know, obviously, there, you know, you go to Cambridge, Oxford, that kind of an accent, it's fine. But I mean, not just that, but like the help in England tend to be immigrants who don't really speak English, which is just something I've noticed. Whereas here, everybody speaks English universally. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what their role in society is. They all speak English. And especially in the cities, the English is excellent. A lot of people, I have a hard time remembering if they're Dutch or not, because they don't really have that Dutch accent that we like to exaggerate. And it's funny to hear Dutch people speak English with an exaggerated like Dutch accent, like they're doing an impression of us doing an impression of them. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. I say I feel very un-English in the Netherlands because they speak my language better than I do most of the time.
Better than I do as well as an American. But the other thing is that, I mean, the Dutch are very accommodating and you know, they're very welcoming and they're very practical. So, you know, there's no sense in hating on good people. But by the same token, they have the same pride in their culture and the same pride in their language as anybody, you know, could be expected to. And it's very respectful, I think, to learn the language of a place when you're there. Even, you know, when I'm in a place for 2 weeks, when I was in Buenos Aires, I was practicing my Argentine Spanish. When I was in Taipei, I was practicing my Mandarin. You know, when I was in Cambodia, I tried to learn a few words of Khmer. And maybe that stuff goes right out of my head, but I just feel like it's respectful. It's respectful to learn about the place.
I've got a couple of... I'm sorry, John, after you.
Can you pronounce Vanggogh?
Yes, Van Gogh.
Ding, ding, ding! We have a winner.
Yeah.
I'm just taking the saliva out my eye.
The key you see is that the Dutch are also consummate cheese makers, and so if you fill yourself up with good Dutch cheese, then making that G is as easy as can be.
So, Mike, have you figured out who's going to play you in the made-for-television movie that's going to be filmed 10 years from now?
I'm hoping for MC Hammer.
All right.
Right, I've got some... John, shut up. My turn.
I am good, sir.
Okay, a couple of questions. I mean, it sounds like, you know, Amsterdam, it's a few months old. I mean, maybe in your dream and in your vision and whatever else, it's more than a few months old. But, you know, the reality is, you know, it's a few months old. You know, there's a lot of talk. No one can quite define what it is yet, and that's because, you know, you're just beginning to put things out there. You know, as well as I know you, you know, whatever the full dream is, I know it's big because there are no other dreams that you have. There are two questions I want to ask. Firstly, you know, I've been sort of inspired by this, and I want to be a part of it, and so I'm already thinking. And as John said, okay, I'm going to book a flight for the end of July, and just come over and spend a few days and see what's going on. You know, as someone who's getting excited about Amsterdam and I want to come, you know, what's the best way of me doing this? How am I going to get the most? Because I can't come for 6 months at this point in time. I can't bring my whole family. So I just want to come and get a taste. How can I make sure that I come there and I capture something of it? I don't end up getting disappointed and thinking, well, that was all just a bunch of BS. What would you recommend?
Well, it's super easy because we have locations that you can go to, our Amsterdam-approved hangouts, where everyday developers are working. And you can go there and you can sit there and you can work and you can talk to developers and you can instantly hook into the movement and see what the vibe is. Right now, our hangout is the NDSM Werf, which we call Amsterdam Noord. Real artsy, you know, people who think that we should be settling in Berlin will really love the NDSM because it's real grungy, real artsy, real, you know, lots of freedom. Everything there seems quasi-legal. You know, there's an artificial beach with this, I want to call it a taco truck, but they actually make hamburgers. I guess it's a hamburger bus, but parked on the beach there and they light fires and you feel a little like you're at Burning Man or something. And, you know, we're sitting there on the water and coding. So you can come there every single day. Wednesday, you can come and take in the lecture. Maybe if you are a guest, we would like to have you actually give the lecture because part of that infrastructure is to extract the knowledge from the people who visit us. But you can come and participate in that way, definitely. Usually, at some point in the week, we have what we call the Mieten and Drinken, which is our, you know, that's the developer drinking club that you're talking about, where we come and drink some of the very good beer here and meet each other and talk and make our big plans. If you're lucky to be here over a weekend, which will be every other weekend, then you can join us for the Amsterdam Family Weekend, which is when, you know, we go out and we just have some fun. And it's the kind of thing where everyone's invited and you know, we might go to an amusement park or we might have some grand adventure like taking the train to Denmark and going to the real Legoland, that sort of thing. And we also have just all kinds of events and stuff happening here. So, I mean, there's a 50-50 chance that you come in there, there's going to be some other kind of cool meetup or conference or something going on. You know, it's like coming to Amsterdam at this point, being part of the whole Amsterdam thing, it's like there's a tech conference happening in the whole city, you know, all year round. So you won't be disappointed, I promise you. And if it helps, you can sleep on my couch.
Okay, so that's 5,000 people for the last week of July, Mike's couch.
Awesome. Well, it's just like the same thing. It's like, you know, surely there's an iPad app for that. You know, no DJ carries around milk crates full of vinyl discs. So no couch that Mike Lee would have in his apartment is constrained with the limit of only, you know, sleeping one person. Surely 5,000 people can fit, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I mean, we have this concept for the Amsterdammer, right, if you will. And it's a cellular concept where an Amsterdammer has a couch that you can sleep on and a bike that you can borrow. And so the theory here is that as long as everybody who comes here follows that formula, then the more people who come here, the more capacity we have. So at some point, yes, 5,000 people can come here and everyone will have a place to sleep and everyone will have a bike. In the meantime, we have things like Airbnb. There are tons of hotels in the city because it's such a destination. People love to be here. All kinds of crazy hotels, everything you could ever want. There's houseboats. There's so many ways to find a place to stay here in Amsterdam. We're a city that's built on hospitality.
And my other question was, obviously, you know, this is something you've begun building recently, and I've just said, oh, I want to come and see, and I want to be, you know, part of this, you know. But actually, yeah, if I'm honest, that's for my benefit. You know, that's because I want to come and get from Amsterdam. You know, what do you want to ask people to give to Amsterdam right now? What's the best thing I could do to help you?
Well, honestly, you know, when people want to get involved, what we do is we survey them, find out what they're able to give, what their skills are, maybe what their passions are. You know, somebody comes up and they say, we really want to contribute to this whole Amsterdam thing, but we're not coders. We're actually publisher types. Maybe, you know, we could make a magazine for you. And then some people jump on that. And the next thing you know, we have a really awesome magazine, which we had available for people at our launch party, which is one of the reasons why it was the best launch party in history. That sort of thing. And so, you know, again, just as we don't define who we are, we don't define what we need. People who want to help, they tell us that they want to help, they tell us what they can do, and we think about what we can do with that, and then we do it.
So if you're an app developer like and you are thinking about doing something with Amsterdam, you're facing this problem that all indies have is, you know, I've taken an app or I've taken an idea as far as I can possibly do it with one person. I need more people to help. I need designers to work with. I need publishers. I need legal representation. I need other people to help me code it. What's the best way for doing that? Is there, you know, because this stands in almost market contrast to how things certainly work for the first, you know, wave of the web, somewhat about how things work now, where it's like you have an idea and then you kind of try to assemble your army in stealth mode and then come out and kind of conquer the world. And that doesn't really scale well. So if I want to kind of say, hey, I'm working on this stuff, who can help? Where do I go to do that today?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, the absolute best way is to just get to know the people in your community, right? Just come hang out, come to the meetings, and then you naturally meet people. It tends to be my experience that you meet the people you need right about the time when you need them. But for everybody who can't do that, or for people who don't want to talk to other people, which I can certainly understand, that's why we have our Amsterdammers website, which is amsterdam.rs. And that is essentially a listing of people in our community. And by our community, of course, I mean our whole community. Anybody who wants to be an Amsterdammer, they can be an Amsterdammer. So we have these great lists of people. And we will continue to make lists as necessary to keep things divided. Right now, it's just kind of a big honking list to show off how many people we have. But pretty soon, we'll have some cool tools in there for searching and filtering and stuff like that. So that you can very specifically find, you know, I need a designer who's willing to do contract work and is available, for example, right? So we have that resource available, the Amsterdammers website. And if you want to be a part of that, you can join that very trivially, just by asking me and letting me know what list you want to be in and where you live. We originally were going to make it just sort of a phone book where every developer and every person we found, we would just list them. And then if they had a problem with it, then they would let us know. But that kind of thing works in practice, but not in theory. So we went to an opt-in system. And this is really intended to solve that problem that, like you said, we all have, right? Like, where is there a big list of all the developers and all the designers and all the people who know about this kind of stuff in the world so I can just find the person I need to find, hire the person I need to hire, and get my work done? And so we're building that list, and that's appsterdam.rs.
And so back to some kind of practical details. So you said that anybody can come for 3 months and you can work, meaning that if you go set yourself up at Igloo or wherever else, there's no hassle, no problem whatsoever. If you were thinking about setting up, what's the Dutch company?
John, I just need to stop you there. That's anyone from the US could come there for 3 months.
Right.
It's not just an open border for anyone. In fact, if you're in the EU, you can go there for as long as you like and never have to leave.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. And it's not just the US, though. If you actually look at the Schengen zone, I was under the impression that this was the US, but then it turns out that it's pretty much every country in the world. I mean, there are lists. So if you're listening now from Iran, God bless you. It might be a little difficult for you, but for most people who are living in you know, countries that have normal relations with Europe, it's the same deal. The Schengen exemption, which is 3 months out of 6 months.
Okay. So then you decide, hey, you really like it. Now you're thinking, okay, for this new thing, I want to form a company. And the form there is a BV, I have no idea what that stands for, but I assume it's something similar to incorporation or limited liability or something like that. If you want to form your limited liability entity, are there some things that Appsterdam people can help with that, or that you're seeing happening or you expect will happen?
Yeah. So what we've done is, you know, if you were reading my very early blog entries about this stuff when it was more just an idea than a movement, you know, I talk about the different phases, and the first phase was going through it myself so I can see what it's like, document it, find good people. And so at this point, everything that you need to do to get set up here, I have somebody that I can recommend that you use, somebody who is our official Appsterdam, you know, immigration attorney, official Appsterdam, accountant, official Appsterdam, housing agent. I mean, everything you need, we have the people for you. And, you know, the more Appsterdammers who use those services, the better deals that we can try to cut for ourselves. You know, we have the expat center here as well. I mean, the thing is, people like to talk, people who want to hate on our movement talk about, you know, if you do the math, the taxes in the Netherlands are actually 110%. You actually have to pay more than you make there in taxes. But, you know, it's kind of like doing all of that kind of stuff reminds me of the story at Google of the designer who quit because they wanted him to provide a scientific basis between 37 shades of blue. It's that kind of a thing. I'm like, I didn't look at all of that. You know what I mean? I mean, I did talk to some people about that kind of thing, but I just looked at if people were happy, and people here are very happy. The people here are very happy. And so obviously the 110% tax must be worth it. So because of that, there are a ton of people who have moved here like over the past 400 years. And so there's a huge expat community here, and we have, you know, the expat center. There are expat bookstores. Everything you need, we have it here for you, and you just contact us here in the movement, and we'll hook you up with the people that you need.
Hmm. Well, I think this has been I think it's great what you're trying to do, Mike. I love people with big dreams. I love people who are prepared to put themselves on the line and go for it. I love people who are prepared to sort of, you know, just give something a try, and it's not about success or failure. It's about I did what my heart said and stuff everybody else. That's, you know, that's an attitude I can live with. And so I just want to wish you all the best. And I know we're in the early days, but I think, you know, great things are coming. I hope, you know, I think this will turn into something. It may not turn into what you were first thinking, but it's going to turn into something great. And, you know, I just hope people really sort of, you know, don't sit back. My view is, okay, don't sit back and just say, well, if it works, I'll go and get involved. You know, because if everybody did that, it's not going to work, is it? You know, and I just want to go, especially people in Europe, you know, it is so cheap to get to Amsterdam from anywhere in Europe. You know, just drop in for the weekend. I mean, how hard can that be to drop into Amsterdam for the weekend? I mean, you know, it's not like I'm asking you to cut your leg off.
But I just want to go on record and saying that if Mike Lee asked me to cut my leg off, I would do it.
There we are. Oh, so, boy. So, you know, I'm looking forward to coming over. I'm looking forward. I mean, I love Amsterdam. Amsterdam. So maybe we call in the city that. I love Amsterdam. I love Amsterdam as a city. It's Mike's right. The beer in Amsterdam is fantastic. There's some good food as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some very good food in Amsterdam. Get a good steak in Amsterdam, actually. And so, come on, guys. Get off your backsides. Book yourself a flight. Get over there sometime this summer. Because what will happen is people will suddenly discover other people are there, and it will become self-fulfilling.
It really does.
That's the point. It becomes self-fulfilling. Whereas everyone waits to see if someone else will do it, nothing happens. And I think, yes, at the moment, this is about... it's maybe a little informal, and Mike's doing all the work about setting this up and setting that up. But actually, you know, with this patent troll stuff and with other stuff coming along in the future, maybe, who knows, you know, even stuff like, you know, Apple are such a big monopoly in our area with the devices that, you know, we need something that is recognized as the community, the Hollywood that Mike was talking about. I totally agree with that. And I know that can have a whole bunch of problems and it doesn't always represent who you are, but actually to have to have something like that that's got the right heart is better than not having anything. Come on, let's give this a chance. There you are. That's my spiel. Right. Mike, give us all the info, the Twitter, the website, your blog, so people can go catch up with what's been going on, comment on it, make their plans, and do all that sort of stuff.
Definitely. The Twitter is at AmsterdamRS. The blog is murmurs, that's mur.mu.rs. The official homepage is AmsterdamRS. That's a lot of Serbian domains. I just happen to have a liking for Serbian domains. That's basically it. I mean, Google Amsterdam.
There we are. That's all that will be in the show notes, because I know the show notes will be there because I've been writing them while we've been talking. John, as if anybody could ever forget, remind people where they can find out all about you.
They can find me on the web at memoryminer.com/blog. They can find me on Twitter as Djembe, DJEMBE. I am so looking forward to my trip to Amsterdam, and I can say that iDeveloper Live episode, 27, would you think?
Ish. Something like ish. Yeah, something like that.
Should be broadcast from Amsterdam, from the beach.
Definitely.
From the beach. That sounds good to me. I'm Scotty. I'm from iDeveloper TV. You can follow me on Twitter at MacDevNet. This has been fun. Mike, leave us with a final thought.
You know, people ask me what is Amsterdam, and I always like to say that we are Amsterdam, and I really think that's true. We are Amsterdam, but it goes further than that, because if we are Amsterdam, then we are also Widget Press, and we are also Icon Factory, and we are also everybody in our community who gets attacked by anyone in our community who suffers. We are there. We are them.
Someone needs to do a Weird Al Yankovic type of cover of, you know, We Are Amsterdam instead of We Are Family, don't they? There we are. We need to find a musician, an Amsterdam musician, to do that. Okay, because it fits, because we're family. Mike, John, thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure. It has been iDeveloper Live. Until next time, you take care.